Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and today we are talking about Gear Up, and we are joined by Joe Monahan, Chris Robinson, and James Leary. Very excited for this conversation. And fellas, I guess we're just going to dive right in. Joe, we're going to get a little bit to what Gear Up is, what problem you're trying to solve, and what you feel like your new business is bringing to the table. But before we do that, why don't we just learn a little bit about you? What's your background and what's your relationship to lacrosse?
Oh, that's great. Thanks for the question, Terry. Appreciate you having me on. So a little bit about myself. So Joe Monahan, Chief Revenue Officer at Gear Up, been here for a little over about 8 years now. Prior to that, about 20 at Nike. So I've been working in the sports industry for the better part of 30 years, and just had a blast doing it. My connection to lacrosse is probably very different than Chris's and James's connection to lacrosse. I didn't play. I grew up in Montana in the 70s and early 80s. There wasn't a lot of lacrosse being played in Montana in the 70s and 80s, so there wasn't an opportunity for me to play. So my intro to lacrosse was as a parent. My oldest son wanted to switch from baseball to lacrosse when he was about 11, so about 20 years ago. And I just fell in love with the game. He played club lacrosse. I'm out in Portland, so Pacific Northwest, not a lot of lacrosse out here 20 years ago. Ryan Powell came out and started a club program, Rhino Lacrosse. And my son played for him for about 8 years, and I got to travel all over the country watching him play and just fell in love with the game. So that's kind of my connection to lacrosse as a parent, and then now in our business, it's one of our biggest sports, one of our biggest categories, working with great people like Chris and James. So, yeah.
Well, that it teed me up nicely. Let's bring them into the conversation. You know, Chris, your reputation precedes you for those that know of your accomplishments at McDonough and Mount Hebron before, but also founder of Robinson Sports. So for those that don't know, do you mind sharing a little bit about your connection to the game and how you stay involved?
Yeah, well, I'd like to give out some props to the Lake Highland Prep in Florida.
There you go.
Because that's where I'm currently coach, and we've won back-to-back state championships and four of the last seven state championships. So that program has been kind of the center of my focus in the lacrosse coaching world for the last several years. It's a great place to work, so definitely want to give them a shout out. And with Robinson Sports, we incorporate the M&D brand, which is, you know, the number one lacrosse club in the country over the last several years. And we've expanded into different states. We're now in Minnesota and Florida, Washington, D.C. And then, of course, we have our whole tournament business, the Robinson Sports Events, which are most well known for the two huge Mid-Atlantic tournaments, but also NGLL and Chesapeake Invitational, Indoor Nationals. So some really, and that's the inside lacrosse Indoor Nationals, I may add. And so some pretty high profile events where we're involved in pretty much all levels of girls across, all the way from youth through high school.
And James, obviously repping 3D Georgia as well as the mustache at the moment. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your relationship to the game and what brings you to this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. I have been a part of 3D lacrosse. Player as an intern, as a coach, full-time after college every year since 2011. I now currently am serving as the director of lacrosse operations for all of 3D, so helping all eight of our markets around the country, as well as our events portfolio. Just continue to help raise the level of coaching, the level of lacrosse on both the boys and girls side around the country. So really excited to be in this spot. Spent plenty of time coaching high school the past few years. I played at University of Vermont and then professionally in the MLL, rest in peace, for both the Atlanta Blades and Boston Cannons. So, you know, this game has given me a ton, and I just want to be able to give back to it and, help the next generation find their path through this game.
We've all kind of established the direct relationship to lacrosse, but Joe, can you tell us a little bit about what brings us together today? Specifically, what is Gear Up?
Yeah, so simply put, we are a supplier of youth sports clubs and leagues for all of their uniforming and apparel and footwear needs. So customization, embellishment, name and number, all that stuff. So, you know, we started the business because we were all parents on youth boards, and we all coached our kids, and we were just blown away by how poor the uniform experience was for clubs and leagues and how much time and effort it took. And we like, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so that's how the company came to be. Is the industry hadn't really changed much from when I was in it as a GM of Nike team in the early 90s. And so we knew there was a way to disrupt it and make it better. So that's where it came from.
And what was it?
Yeah, so a great question, Terry. So the method was really the whole process had always been done where coaches, club directors would order product themselves. Product would ship directly to their facility or their house, and they'd have to break it down out of boxes, get it to the athletes, deal with payment, deal with sizing, deal with returns. So basically what we did is we disrupted the whole thing with an e-commerce solution where we stand up a web store for all the clubs, and then the parents buy the product directly from the store, and the product ships directly to their homes in 2 weeks or less. So it's really about, you know, James mentioned, you know, he's one of the reasons he does this is to help the next generation. He didn't start working at 3D to deal with apparel. He started working at 3D to help kids learn to be better lacrosse players and better people, not to deal with an apparel business. So we just take that hassle and that headache off the backs of the club directors and coaches and let them focus on what they do best.
Well, so James, obviously, you know, one of the kind of biggest sources of your being here is speaking to the nature of that problem. How do you describe how annoying uniforms can be as a club coach?
Yeah, certainly. You know, for years we've struggled with late uniforms, you know, duplicate jersey numbers, wrong sizing, you know, the wrong apparel from one of our other brands or one of our other markets being delivered to the wrong market. I remember a couple of years ago when I was down in Georgia, we received backpacks that had the complete wrong logo printed on them, and they were supposed to be in a different part of the country on the same day as the season was starting for the summer. So, you know, we have had a great success since working with Gear Up. They've been super helpful. The customer service is second to none. So it's been a lot easier for us to be able to focus, to Joe's point, on what's going on the field, on the customer success. You know, ultimately, we joke sometimes that it is sometimes not just lacrosse coaching and more about customer service and what we do, and making sure that those families, we talk about it often, we want to provide them with the best possible experience in club sports. And we know that we're getting that with Gear Up and their ability to deliver on time, the right sizing. If anything does go wrong, they're quick to fix it. They're quick to find a solve. And that's something that has been a really nice breath of fresh air the past couple years that we've been using them.
Chris, obviously one of the things that you can bring to the conversation is a really long lens in terms of how long you've been involved in this side of the sport. How do you describe the way the technology has evolved over the last 20 plus years and the role that plays in the customer service aspect of it, and you know, whether it's dealing with parents or, you know, on the event side, dealing with registrants? How has technology changed that dynamic, and how does Gear Up fit into that from the standpoint of their value prop and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, so as the veteran of the group, I felt like you maybe were calling me old there, Terry, but
I would never. Veteran is the proper word for it. We're relying on your experience.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. So I am a grandfather, by the way, so that is pretty cool. Anyway, so yeah, it's changed immensely. And I think, you know, James hit on a lot of great points, kind of stole a lot of my thunder here, what I was going to say. But, you know, one of the things is when you're dealing in large volume, like for M&D, we're, you know, over 50 teams now, 1,000 kids in different locations. Having like those uniforms shipped to our office or to my house, and then having to divide up uniforms and everything else was, you know, that is just a huge task. And now it's an individual type of thing with the parents. It's out of our coach's hands. It's out of my hands. It's a direct relationship between the parents and gear up. And so if there is a sizing mistake or a number mistake or whatever, that's handled between them, and the shipping's all between them. So it is a huge time saver, and it really takes a lot off the plate of the coaches and the club administration. So that's a really big thing. And that store being open 24/7, that was something that I know over the course of the decades that I've been around, I've been trying to ask from different vendors in the past, and they just couldn't do it because we would have to buy the inventory, and then we would have to sit on the inventory. And if we didn't sell the inventory, it was, it made it really difficult, because then it would just be sitting in my garage and my wife would get on me about why are these jackets sitting in here forever. And so it's nice to have just everything succinct, individually done, and the parents and kids can access that store any time of the day. And so it's really great. Just have it shipped to their house and we don't have to be bothered with it at all. It's a good service.
And Joe, along those lines, how is Gear Up able to do that?
That's a great question. And Chris, I appreciate you bringing up the stores always being open. That was one of the key differentiators when we started the business. We noticed the same thing. We noticed that what people did was they'd open up these stores, but they'd only have them open for a limited window of time, one or 2 weeks. And you had to do all your ordering in that window, and then the store would close, and it wouldn't open again for a year. And the reason that people did that was they were waiting for all the orders to come in, and then they would batch them all and make them all at once. They'd find somebody to make them for them. Our business is really different, where we make a big inventory buys with our key brand partners, and we just own a lot of inventory. We have a lot of warehouses, a lot of products. The only way you can turn these orders fast is you have to have the product on hand. So we buy a lot of inventory and we stock it, so then when the orders come in, instead of batching them, we single piece flow the order. So if Chris orders a hoodie and he goes onto the site and orders a hoodie, that order comes in, it gets picked, packed, and shipped to Chris's house right away. We don't wait for all their orders to come in. So it's the single piece flow concept that allows us to be that fast, and then the heavy investment in inventory to support the business. But I love hearing that, Chris. I love hearing that the you love having those stores open, because you know, it happens. We've all done it before. You go to you figure on a Tuesday, you have a tournament over the weekend and kids lost something and you need to go buy it. You can go on the store whenever you want and buy it.
Well, yeah, Joe, that it's really interesting in terms of kind of the fundamental aspect of time was the thesis, right, for the approach. That was, kind of what you guys were bringing to the table in terms of how it was differentiated. But, obviously, as you've grown, it's validated the point of view and the decision. How do you feel like it's taken root in lacrosse? You mentioned at the top that it's one of your bigger categories, and obviously that suggests that you're seeing activity and growth in multiple sports. What is kind of the overall portfolio, and how does lacrosse fit into it, and how do you feel like the growth that you've seen reflects the fundamental nature of that thesis to start?
Yeah, I mean, I just think I feel really fortunate to work in youth sports. I think it's just kind of cool to see what's going on, especially quite honestly, across all sports on the girls' side now. The growth of girl sports across pretty much every sport, when you look at what's going on with basketball and lacrosse and now flag football, has really been a great lift to our business. The reason I think lacrosse, I still think lacrosse has a lot of room to grow. You know, I mean, you think about it, it's an old established sport out east, but in the West, I mean, it hasn't been around for, quite honestly, all that long. And so it's growing. We're seeing exponential growth in lacrosse. And I love that it's dual gender. You got the boys and girls side. It's not just a single gender sport. So I think that's driving a lot of the growth. But I still think, you know, living out here in the Pacific Northwest, it's just, I still think there's an amazing amount of growth to come. So,
James, you obviously have been on the front end of a growth area based on your time in Georgia. How do you see the way that the sport has grown relative to other sports?
Yeah, definitely. Coming out of college, I was talking to Joe a week or two ago about this, but playing for 3D New England in high school, and then immediately coaching and interning for him, I was given the opportunity to work in a handful of different 3D markets at the time. And I ended up choosing to go to Georgia 2 weeks after graduating college. And I didn't know anybody in Georgia. I didn't know anything about the landscape outside of, I knew lacrosse was still very new in 2018 down there. And I knew that there was an opportunity for growth from a standpoint of, right, it's the South. There's a lot of athletes. There's an opportunity to play year round outdoors. And so because of that, I was eager to get down there. And once I got down there and sort of got my lay of the land, I was like, yeah, this is prime. There's a real big opportunity here to continue to help grow Georgia lacrosse and lacrosse in the South in general. You know, I think one thing that I look at is the amount of players that are playing lacrosse now in Georgia and in the Southeast in general. I mean, we pull kids for our 3D Georgia teams for years now. We've pulled kids from every state that borders Georgia. And that's something that, you know, I was really proud of. Our tagline is Rep the South. You know, I got it on the shirt here because it's not just Georgia that we're representing. I feel like we have kids from Florida, from Alabama, from the Carolinas, from Tennessee, and players that are really good and are going off to play college lacrosse at a really high level. You know, you see some of the top players on the All-American list have a Georgia address, and that's something that I think is really cool, and I think you're going to continue to see more of that. And, you know, to Joe's point, as the sport continues to grow out west, you're going to see more and more kids from those non-hotbed areas. You know, I think people talk about it often, but Atlanta and Georgia in general is trending towards a hotbed area. There's more kids that are playing. There's more great coaching going on down there. You know, whether it's bringing people down from the Northeast, from the Mid-Atlantic to move down there after college and coach. Or one thing that we have really focused on is sort of growing our own coaches. And our own players are now graduating college. Guys that I coached, guys that we coached in the program, they're moving back to Georgia to work, to live, you know, their professional adult lives. And they're now back in the mix as some of our coaches on our staff. And that alone is, I think, how you continue to grow those non-hotbed areas to make them more successful long term. It's just coaching the youth kids at the very early age levels and getting them the right fundamentals from an early age and allowing them to blossom within that market.
Chris, you can speak to both sides of Joe's point as somebody who's been at the epicenter of the growth of girls lacrosse for a long time, as well as now, as you mentioned, having moved to Florida, which is certainly an emerging hotbed. How do you, you know, compare and contrast some of the points that James made in terms of your experiences as going from the hottest of hotbeds to now the most emerging of emerging markets, and what's unique about it on the girls' side?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And, you know, that is something that I've been on the forefront with for a while now. With on the high school side, obviously moved down to Florida in 2019. And so it doesn't seem that long ago in my mind, but it has now been 8 seasons that I've been down there. And I've seen, you know, American Heritage Delray, who's kind of our rival at Lake Highland Prep, like both schools have elevated Florida lacrosse on the national level. And so, but that's done through a lot with the club programs, whether that's M&D Orlando or Florida Select for them. And so, you know, both teams have been, you know, highly nationally ranked, beaten a lot of Mid-Atlantic and, you know, hotbed area teams that come down and visit. And so that's been really cool to watch that development from a competitive standpoint. But then from a participation standpoint, I see it. We, you know, for Robinson Sports, we run the NGLL, which is the National Girls Lacrosse League, for middle school kids. And, you know, we're in 11 regions. We've got regions in the Carolinas, Florida, Georgia, Midwest, Rocky Mountain. And every year, those participation numbers are going up in the emerging areas. You know, the Mid-Atlantic and New York areas, it kind of stays stable. You know, they're kind of a saturated market, but the emerging growing areas are all in places that are not considered the hotbeds, which is No, really cool. And, and also we have MND Minnesota is a new addition to our MND lineup. And, they have record numbers this year for tryouts and teams. And so the numbers are going up. And, the last example of that is the Under Armour 150, which we run. We have represented this year out of those 150 players that we take in each age group. We're representing 27 different states this year and Canada. And so that's saying a lot about the growth of lacrosse. And I think that's where, Gear Up really could tap into those emerging areas, very well.
No question. And obviously, Joe, that's part of your DNA. You mentioned obviously that you're from Oregon and you have your experience with Nike, but also your experience as a dad. Your son played college lacrosse in Illinois, and we're coming off of a Final Four weekend in which saw tremendous crowds for the women's championship at Northwestern, which again speaks to the establishment of emerging hotbeds. And when I say establishment, I guess what I mean is validity, validation, and Kelly Monte Hiller spoke a lot about that. How have, just based on the time horizon of your experience, kind of with a finger on a little bit on the pulse of the Chicago lacrosse community, how have you seen it develop?
Oh, I think athletes just want a better experience. I mean, I think when you think about at the end of the day, that's why we do this. We do it for the kids, right? All of us, right? I mean, when the kids want a better experience, they demand a better experience. I'm always blown away by the, especially coming out of a big brand background, I'm blown away by the level of knowledge these young athletes have about product. I mean, they want really good performance product. They're not going to play in cheap product. And that's one of the key reasons why we only work with the best brands, because these kids want the best products and they want the best experiences. I mean, I think that's how you get better. You don't get better by, I'm not a coach. These guys are the experts on this. I'm not a lacrosse coach, but I think it kind of works across sports. You don't get better playing mediocre competition. You get better playing up. And I'll never forget it, that when Ryan Powell took our team back to Lake Placid, and these kids are 12, 13 years old. And I remember thinking, wow, like this is amazing. And the kids played great. And there's a number of kids that were on that team that played professionally and played, one played for Syracuse, one played for Penn. I mean, it's really grown tremendously that way. And I think that's how you get better, is you got to get out there and you got to play against the best competition. And I think that's what these guys do. They're making better, building better programs, building better athletes. And I think that in and of itself rises the tide of the whole sport.
We've got Under Armour logos prominently displayed across the chest of both these guests. Who are the
This is
brand
an Under
partners
Armour
that you
piece
work
too,
with?
Terry.
There you go.
So, yep.
How do you describe the relationship that GearUp has with Under Armour?
Yeah, that's a great question. Under Armour, I love working with the Under Armour folks. They're great people. Great, really invested heavily in team sports at the grassroots level, which is what we do. And so, there's a lot of investment at the collegiate and high school level, and that's great. But when we started the business, we wanted it to be about the club level with youth sports. So they care about it. They invest heavily in it. They care deeply about, Chris mentioned the events that they do and the experiences that they have across multiple sports. Very relevant across multiple sports, and have been great partners for us to work with.
Joe, as we close, anybody listening to this that's interested in learning more about GearUp or getting in touch with you, how do you recommend they do so?
I'd say the easiest way to do it is go to our website, gearupwithus.com. Everything you want to know about the company is on that website, and there's a way to be able to reach out and connect with us. And I think best experience you can have in learning about us is to talk to the people that are already working with us, like James and Chris. It's one thing for us to talk about what we do. It's a totally different thing when a valued customer talks about what we do. So we're going to keep growing, keep innovating, keep trying to be better, and keep trying to do the best we can to serve guys like this and clubs that are making a difference in the country.
Sounds fantastic. Well, I want to thank you all for your time in the conversation, and really look forward to seeing you guys out on the road.
That's great. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, James.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.